28. And let's stand together once again as we read God's Word together this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And we're going to read beginning in verse number 1 and down through verse 3. And then we're going to read verses 9 and 10. And then we'll read in chapter 29 as well. And this morning we're going to conclude a series which has been called From My Heart for the Lord, a study in Christian stewardship. And today we want to study the subject from a heart that praises God, from a heart that praises. And let's begin reading in 1 Chronicles 28, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3, and then verses 9 and 10, and then the first two verses of chapter 29. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men, unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. Verse number 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Chapter 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, and the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of diverse colors, and of all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I prepared for the holy house. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for passages in the Bible that give us insight into the various challenges and privileges that we have as a Christian people and as a local church. And I pray today that you would bless this message and use it. I pray this morning that we would have our hearts stirred to praise and that we would understand the great opportunities before us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Helen Keller was once asked, What would be worse than being born blind? To which she replied, Being born with sight, but having no vision. Being born with sight, but having no vision. Here in these chapters of 1 Chronicles, we catch a glimpse of the vision of a king. The king's name was David. And David had a tremendous vision upon his heart for the work of his God and for the place of worship for the people of God. David, in the final days of his life, had a strong desire to accomplish something for his God. David desired with all of his heart that before he went to glory, before he went to be with his God, that he would truly make a mark for God and for his people. And so he tells us of that in 1 Chronicles 28 in verse 2, where the Bible says, I had in my heart to build an house for the rest of the Ark of the Covenant.
He had in his heart a desire to do something for the work of God. Now, it is also apparent that David was willing not only to open his heart, but also to open his hand to help in the building up of the temple. You see, in chapter 28 and verse 2, he tells us that God had touched his heart. But in chapter 29 and verse 2, he tells us that God has touched his hand. And my friend, when God touches your heart, your hand will be affected. And David's heart and David's hand had been affected. You know, in order for the church sanctuary just out to the south of us this morning to be completed, each of us must allow God to touch our hearts and allow God to touch our hands. The way that God has worked in the building of places of worship has not changed in these thousands of years, and we see this morning a tremendous example for the doing of God's work, God's way. I remember a few years ago, my daughter Christine came to me, and she had a grimace on her face that told me she was in some kind of pain. And I immediately began to look to try to see where maybe the pain was coming from. I didn't see any skinned knees. I didn't see any skinned elbows. But after I looked a little further, I noticed that she was holding her hand just as tightly clenched as you can possibly imagine. She had her hand clenched, and she said, Dad, there's a sliver in my hand. There's a sliver in my hand. And she squeezed that hand so tightly. And I said, well, honey, let me help you. Let's get the sliver out of your hand. And I went and got a pair of tweezers, and I went and got a needle. And of course, that needle must have looked like a 16-penny nail when I came back to her, because her eyes got as wide as saucers. And when she saw the needle and when she saw the tweezers, she just squeezed her hand all the more tightly and cried about the sliver in her hand. And, you know, I said, Christine, look, just open up your hand. And let me see the sliver, and Daddy will help get the sliver out of your hand, and it'll get all better. And she said, I don't want to open my hand. I don't want to open my hand. And I said, now, honey, just open your hand, and we'll take care of that. And you know that for 15, 20 minutes of crying and bribing and threatening and doing everything I knew how to do, she just held that hand as tightly closed as she possibly could. And you know that I never did get an opportunity to take that sliver out. I don't really know what became of it, but I was thinking of that the other day. That's the way a lot of Christians are. Our hands are tightly closed, and we have a loving Heavenly Father who just simply says, if you'll open your hand, I'll be sure to make all things better for you, and I'll replenish and I'll provide for you time and time again if you'll just trust me and open your hand. You see, David's heart had been touched and David's hand had been opened. And for those Christians this morning who feel as though, boy, building programs and things like this, that's the time to hold on as tight as you can, I want to encourage you with something this morning. We have a loving Father who delights in replenishing the needs of His children. And that's exactly what David found out. God was interested in meeting his needs. B.R. Lakin once said, a cold heart and a stingy hand often go together. But when God warms your heart, it will affect your hand as well. And David's heart and hand had been moved. And ultimately, because of that, he was able to praise God for the fact that he had had a part in the work of God. And he was glad that he had been a part of doing God's work in God's way. And I want you to see with me this morning three things that David's vision caused him to do. Because his heart was so affected, because he believed so strongly in this project, he was caused to do three things that I want to share with you this morning. First of all, David purposed from his heart. David purposed from his heart. Once again, in chapter 28 and verse 2, the Bible says, then David the king stood upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house for the rest of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Here we see that David purposed in his heart. David said, I had in my heart to do something for God. And I want you to notice with me today that this purpose was not a self-centered purpose. This purpose was not egocentric. This purpose was first and foremost for the Lord. He had in his heart to do something for the Lord. Notice, if you would, in chapter 29 and verse number 1, the purpose was for the Lord. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I want you to think of this for a moment. He said, this temple that Solomon will build, this temple for which I prepared, is not for man, it is for the Lord God. And I want to say something today, folks. That auditorium out there is not for man. First and foremost, it is for the Lord God. It is for the glory of God. And David understood that. He said, I want to do something with my life for the glory of God. The temple was to glorify the Lord. And the chief end of man is to glorify God. That's the reason God created us. That's the reason God has us here on this earth, is to glorify an almighty God. And our goal and our heart in this church is to glorify Jesus Christ in His church, in all that we do, including the building programs, that Jesus Christ would be lifted up high and mightily in His church. I love the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 because it tells me about Jesus and about His place in the church. And I would read this to you this morning. For by Him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. That is the goal of Lancaster Baptist Church, that in all things Jesus Christ might have the preeminence. David said the reason we're building this palace or sanctuary is for the Lord. Chapter 29 and verse 1, but for the Lord God. Hear me today. His purpose in doing what He did was for the Lord. What a great thing to live our lives for something beyond ourselves, for someone greater than ourselves. And David said, I want to see this temple built for the Lord. And may we say this week and this Friday night, Lord, this is for You, and may You get glory out of this building until the day You call us home. May You have preeminence in Your church. And so his purpose was first and foremost for the Lord. But I see a second purpose. I see that David's purpose, secondly, was for the nation. It was for the nation. I want you to see this in verse 28, of chapter 28 and verse number 8. The Bible says, now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you. Now, this charge from David to Solomon was held in a national assembly of leadership in the city of Jerusalem. This was not merely David talking to Solomon. This was David speaking to a nation. This was the king speaking to the people. And David wanted this nation to be reminded of God. He wanted them to be reminded of the power and the presence of God. And he wanted for the temple to be an example of God's presence in their midst. And so David gathers the nation together. This temple was first of all for the Lord, but it was secondly for the nation. Folks, this morning my Bible still says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. David wanted for his nation to be reminded of the fact that God Almighty was in their midst, and that without God Almighty, they would not have God's blessing upon their life. And one of the reasons today that we are so fervent about the development of these facilities and of this church is because of the fact, friend, today, the need in America this hour is very great spiritually. We need this auditorium and 100 like them across America preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ as never before. David was burdened that God would be glorified, but he was burdened that the nation would be revived. And as I look out to the 21st century, I am no prophet, but as I read the scriptures, I believe that America today has two choices and two alone. America is headed this morning either for anarchy or revival. One or the other. This country today is sick to the core, sick at the heart, and spiritually in tremendous need. Friends, we live in a nation today that has legalized such atrocities as partial birth abortion, a country today that seems to be winking at all types of degradation, a country today in which there is apparent tremendous lack of integrity in our White House this morning, and a constituency that seems to turn the other way and act like nothing's going on. I'm telling you this morning, friend, we live in a sin-sick nation today. And one of the reasons this preacher and this people are fervent about doing the work of God in a way that stretches our faith is because we don't have small needs in America this morning. We don't have small needs in the Antelope Valley this morning. There are great needs in this nation today, and it is time for young churches and young Christians to step up and say, God, use me to make a difference. David was burdened for his nation. Bill Bennett recently wrote, I submit to you this crisis of our time is spiritual. What afflicts us as a nation is corruption of the heart and a turning away of the soul. Nothing has been so consequential to the unraveling of our society than large segments of our American society, a turning away from God. What a tragic statement. Large segments of our society turning away from God. And because of that, we are seeing today a country with no moral compass, no spiritual direction, and we need today to realize the tremendous importance of what we are a part of this morning. I don't know the extent to which God wants to use this ministry or to use my life. That is entirely up to Him. He is a sovereign God. If God ceases to use my life at the end of this message, I will thank and praise Him for saving me and for the privilege of serving Him for these years. But I pray that in some small way, God would use our church and God would use our Christian school and God would use this new West Coast Baptist College to make a difference in these United States of America. I pray that God somehow would let us touch this region of our country for His glory. And David was purposing in his heart to build this temple, not for himself, but first and foremost for his Lord, and secondly for his nation, and thirdly for his family. I want you to notice in chapter 28 and verse number 9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations and thoughts. My friend, He knows our imaginations and thoughts this morning. He knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts today. And here is a father speaking to a son. A father who had not lived a perfect life, but a father who was preparing to die. And he's saying to his son Solomon, live for God. Solomon, I want this temple to be built so that when you see it, you'll be reminded of God. And I believe the future of my children, I believe the future of many children in our Sunday school this morning depends on my purpose to sacrifice for the work of God and this generation to do what we can do to remind the generation to come that there is a God in heaven. There is such a thing as right and wrong. The Bible is true and a place where we can remind them of that on a weekly basis. David was concerned for his family. And I believe many of us share that concern. And so David simply says in chapter 28 and verse number 10, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Just do it, David says. And friends, this morning, I believe we need to claim that verse. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee. Friend, God adds to the church such as should be added. God has already placed the people and the resources within this church family to go ahead and just do it for the glory of God. And we need to recognize that this morning. And so David purposed first for the Lord, secondly for his nation, thirdly for his family. But I want you to see not only did David purpose, but notice secondly this morning that David participated from his heart. You see, it's one thing to purpose, it's one thing to plan, it's another thing to become involved. And I see in chapter 29 and verse 2 that David participated personally. The Bible says, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Notice David says, I have prepared. He says, I have prepared with all my might. And friends, you make note of this. the more passionate our faith, the more persistent our giving. It may be a banquet or two or five or ten. It may be weekly offerings. But friend, the more passionate our faith, then the more persistent our giving. And David's saying, God's touched my heart with this matter, and I want to be a part of meeting the need and doing the work that God has called me to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7, the Apostle Paul wrote, every man. Every man in the Greek means every man. That means every new Christian. That means every older Christian. That means everyone this morning who's tired, everyone who's happy, everyone who feels good. Every man means every man. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And if you have a purpose in your heart from God, you will participate in your heart for God. If you have a purpose in your heart from God, then you will participate for God. And you see, Psalm 96 and verse 8 says, give unto the Lord the glory due His name, bring an offering, and come into His courts. And you see, giving to the Lord is simply a way of worshiping our God. And so David worshiped personally from his heart. Not only did he participate personally, but secondly, he participated affectionately. He participated affectionately. Now, men, we don't like to talk about affection. That sounds to some men like a sissy word. But I'm going to tell you something. If you love your God, it's nothing to be ashamed of this morning. David participated affectionately. He says there in verse 3, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. David was giving from the heart. He was setting his affection to God's house. He was in love with his God. He was in love with the thought of God's house. And David was proving the sincerity of his love. Friend, listen to me this morning. What do you love? What do you set your affections on? I want to say this morning, I love my family. I love my wife. I love my daughter Danielle, my son Larry, my daughter Christine, my son Matthew. I love my family. I thank God for them. They're the apple of my eye. I love my family, and I thank the Lord for them. And because I love them, I intend to meet their needs to the best of my ability. I love my family. Men, you ought to love your family. You ought to love your wife. You ought to love your children more than you love the things of this world. I want to say this morning, I love my Lord. I love Him. I'm thankful to my Lord. You see, I don't believe it's just some historical, mystical kind of a maybe what if. I believe that the God of heaven took the form of man and that nails were literally driven through His hands and His feet and that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for me. And I love Him for that. I love my Lord today. And this morning, I love my church. I thank God for this church. I love this church because of what this church believes, and I love this church because of what this church does in this community, and I love this church because of the great and mighty things that God has done here, and I'll shout it from the mountaintops, I love Lancaster Baptist Church. I have a great affection for what God is doing here, and I wouldn't attend a church that I didn't love. I love it here. I love Lancaster Baptist Church. I love what God does in churches. I was thinking this past week about a family, and the reason I was is because the lady wrote me a letter, and she was a part of the very first church I ever pastored. I was still in Bible college, and the church was down near Indio, California. I've told the stories in the past some about that church, and I'll just quickly share one account. I was preaching. We were meeting in a house. We had one morning our record attendance, 72 people in a house. We had 30 or 40 in the living room, 15 or 20 in the family room. We had some in the dining room, some in the back rooms listening. We had 72 people in that house. And I was preaching on that day, John 3:16. I was 18 years old. I was preaching John 3:16. And as I preached John 3:16, I did what all good Baptists are supposed to do. At the end of that sermon, I gave an invitation. Invitations where we go ahead and put ourselves on the spot and believe God to touch somebody's heart and have them come to be saved. We stood up and began singing that invitation song. We had a pianist at the time. Her name was Barbara. She knew one song. She knew how to play one song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. So she played Just a Closer Walk with Thee, and we sang Just As I Am. That was exciting. I was singing Just As I Am. People were standing there. I did what I saw everybody else do. I was 18 years old trying to figure it out. I gave the invitation, and here came a couple to be saved, Fred and Alice Riley. Fred and Alice at that time were in their 60s, I suppose, and as they came, this was the first time any adult had ever come to be saved through the preaching ministry that God had given to me. And man, I got so excited, I didn't really know what to do. They came and said, we want that, what you said, we want that. You do? I said, okay. Man, we went off into the bedroom of this family's house. We went in that back bedroom. I forgot, left those folks standing out there. I don't know how many stanzas of Just As I Am they sang to the tune of Just a Closer Walk with Thee that afternoon. We went in that back room, and Fred and Alice prayed to accept Christ as their Savior. I'll never forget what Alice said. She said, Lord, she said, I ask you to forgive my sins and come into my heart and save me. She said, I don't know how to tell you how I feel, but I just sort of feel like I'm up on the stage getting my Grammy right now. Well, amen. She was getting it, amen. But she wrote me a letter this week and sent me a picture from her 80th birthday. She said, your monthly newsletter makes me happy. God has certainly blessed you. Sometimes I wonder what would have happened to me if Fred and I had not met you and Terry. What a wonderful blessing you were in my life. The precious Lord has been so good to me. I can see His work in my life every day. I'm so happy in my little church. Jesus comes first in our lives. You sure planted a big seed in me when I turned my life over to be saved. I love churches where people get saved. I love churches where lives are changed. And I've set my affection to Lancaster Baptist Church. And David set his affection to the building up of a temple for the glory of God. And as we give this next Friday, we're simply setting our affection towards the things of God. And David participated personally. And David participated affectionately. He said, I love my God. I love the place of worship for my God. And I'm not ashamed to say that. And we need some men this week who'll say, I love my God. And I believe in the importance of God's work. I love my church. And so he participated affectionately. He gave from the heart. And I want you to see, thirdly, he participated sacrificially. Sacrificially. Chapter 29, verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and of the captains of thousands and hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams of silver, 10,000 talents of brass, 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. I want you to notice the Bible says they gave, that they gave willingly. Now, we'll not take the time to add this all up, but if you were to get out a measuring chart and if you were to figure out everything that they gave, David and these people gave $2.5 billion of offering this day. $2.5 billion in gold and silver and stones for the building of the temple. Aren't you glad to know we only need $2.5 million to finish that building out there? Isn't that a blessing? But that's how much they gave. And they gave it sacrificially. I love the story of the little boy and his dad who went out to the backyard, and the little boy liked to play all kinds of games. He likes to play banker, and he likes to play cops and robbers, and he likes to play all these different things. And one day he said, Dad, let's play store. He said, I'll be the storekeeper, you be the customer. He put all his items out. He put all of his toys and trinkets and had everything out on the counter there and put on his shopkeeper's hat and his shopkeeper's outfit, and his dad came to the store. And his dad said, is all this for sale, son? He said, yes, it is. You just make an offer and I'll sell it to you. I'm the storekeeper. You're the customer. His dad saw a nice pair of binoculars. In fact, his son had taken the binoculars from his dad's closet, and the dad thought he might want to take them back to the closet. He said, son, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll give you 5 cents for those binoculars. And the little boy looked at him. He said, Dad, we're playing store. We're not playing church. And a lot of people play church that way. David said, I'm not playing church. I love my God. I love the house of my God. I'll give willingly from the best that I have. And as we sacrifice by faith this Friday night, that auditorium will be completed to the glory of God as we give willingly and as we give from our heart. And so David, first of all, purposed from his heart. He said, God's put this on my heart. And then secondly, David participated from his heart personally and affectionately and sacrificially. And then I want you to see that that led to praising from his heart. David praised God from his heart. You see, when God touches your heart and when God opens your hand, though you may not think this aforehand, Though your friends may not think this could ever be the case, when God touches your heart and opens your hand, get ready to praise. Get ready to shout, because there is a freedom in trusting God and there is a joy in seeing God keeping you employed for 12 more months. There's a joy in seeing God meet your needs for another year. There's a joy in saying, whoo, man, I let go and gave some to God. But look what God's done, and it's cause for praise unto the Lord. I want you to see this praise came from all of the people. The Bible says in verse 9, and the people rejoiced for that they had offered willingly. Because that with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Here was praise from the people. You say, that's nuts. They gave $2.5 billion of their hard-earned resources and now they're praising God. Yes, that is nuts. But you see, don't try to put your logic onto this book. God was doing something in their hearts. And they were praising God for what had just taken place. Why? Because they knew that temple was going to get built for the glory of God. And that brought great joy to their heart. And so they offered willingly and they offered sincerely of a perfect heart. And when we sincerely give, we will sincerely rejoice. Let me say that again. When we sincerely give, we will sincerely rejoice. We'll say, Lord, thank you for letting me be a part. And so we see this praise was from the people. They were praising God and thanking God for the fact that they were a part. Then I want you to see, secondly, this praise, catch it, was for the Lord. It was for the Lord. They weren't saying, man, those valiant men, didn't they do good? Man, David, didn't he do good? No, they were praising God for what he'd done. We're praying this Friday night that God will be glorified in his church. I want you to see how they praise the Lord. Chapter 29, verse 10. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Sir, you need to remember that. Riches and honor come from God. David reminded the people, and he said, thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? David saying, I'm just humbled that I was able to be a part, Lord. Thank you that you let us be a part. I'm telling you, the unsaved man could not comprehend this. Giving like that and then saying, and I'm just humbled that I could. But God had touched his heart. Remember, that's where this message started. God had touched his heart. And now he says, Lord, thank you for letting me be a part. Notice it says in verse 14, very important phrase, fellas and ladies. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. I don't care how much we give this Friday night, all you're doing is giving something to God that he gave to you in the first place. We have to remember that. Verse number 15, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners as were our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. Here David praises God. He praises God for many things. In verse 11, he praises God for his power. This past week, the secretary gave a report. She said, Pastor, we are right at our 9,000th soul being saved at Lancaster Baptist Church. In 11 years of ministry, 9,000 people have come down an aisle in this church or in some other building of this church to pray and receive Christ as Savior. Friend, that's not me, that's not you, that's the power of God. And that's something to thank God for. 50% of those people have publicly identified in believers' baptism. That's something to praise God for. And we see here this morning that he was praising God for his power and he was thanking God for his provision. And he reminds God again in verse 16, all of this comes from your hand, God. I remember when we moved down here to Lancaster, my wife and I, like a lot of young couples in their early 20s, we'd saved up some money. We had the dream of someday buying a house. We'd saved up $4,000 to buy a house. That was a lot of money for us. But when God called us to Lancaster, that money went quickly into the work of God. We spent $1,000 just painting the old auditorium. I just couldn't get peace about preaching in an avocado green auditorium. It quenched my spirit. So one of the first things I did with that money, I bought some paint to paint that building. We began to buy tools, and we gave to various different things. And within just a few weeks, that money was gone. And we gave it willingly, and we rejoiced that we could give it to the glory of God. You know, it's an amazing thing, because when God called me to be the pastor of this church, He did something that I'd never experienced before. He did something that has never changed, and it's only grown. He gave me a heart for this church. I set my heart to this place. And because of that, my hand was affected. And because of that, that little bit of savings for a house was gladly given to the work of God. My wife and I lived in a pretty difficult situation for us, and difficult meaning we couldn't get most of our furniture into the little apartment there on Spearman, and we were not able to really settle in, had problems with our plumbing, had just different situations there with some of the neighbors and so forth, not take the time to go into it, but we were happy. We weren't complaining at all. One day we had some friends that called. They said, "Hey, we didn't know you were in Lancaster," and said, "We're going to be going up to Monterey to a convention, and we'd like to swing through and come and visit." I said, "That'll be fine." I gave them our address. They came by. The day that they came by, we'd had a problem in our house. The water pipes finally had given way and had completely broken. The water pipes had broken. It was in the latter part of the fall, a very hot day. And as the water pipes broke and got into that carpet, that place began to smell. I mean, it stunk to the high heavens. The people before us had animals, and I won't get into the whole mixture of all of the chemical balance of that carpet, but it was bad. No air conditioner. We had a swamp cooler that worked when it wanted to, and it was just bad. Now, I'll never forget our friends. They pulled up. We had not talked to them. We had not seen them in at least 4 years. Hadn't sent them a Christmas card. I still, this day, don't know why they called. And they pulled up in their Mercedes, and they got out of that car and walked up, and they walked just to the threshold of our apartment, and they said, "Hi, where's your church? Let's go see it." And that's what we did. We went and we saw the church, and after we showed them the church and told them how excited we were, they said, "Boy, we saw that the housing prices are a little more affordable in this area." They said, "Let's just drive around a little bit." I said, "That'd be fine." And we got in their car, and my wife, at that time, we had just Danielle and Larry. We were expecting Christine any time. And they drove around. We began to drive around. We went by a particular housing tract, and there was a sign out in the front of the housing tract that said, percentage rate, 8.5% this weekend only. And they said, "Wow, let's go in there and look." I said, "Fine, be fine with me." Went in. We began to walk through some of the models and so forth. We walked into a particular home, beautiful, beautiful home. And we walked through that house, and they said, "This is a nice house." They said, "Do you like this house?" I said, "Yeah, it's great, wonderful." They said, "Would you like to live in this house?" I said, "Is the Pope Catholic?" We'd love to live in this house. I thought maybe he wanted to buy it and let us live in it or rent it to us or something. I didn't know what he had in mind. We went over to the sales office. He said, "Ma'am, how much would this young couple need as a down payment to buy this house?" I wanted to check the records this week, didn't have the time to do it, but it was between $4,000 and $4,020, right in there. It was almost to the penny what we had just put into the work of God. He said, we want to give the down payment. He said, "It'd be all right, we'll write the check right now. We want to hold that house right there." He wrote that check. Through another series of really miraculous happenings, there was no co-signer needed. God let us have a home. And I'm telling you, friend, God, in the early days of this ministry, touched my heart and touched my hand, and then God replenished that. And time again, as God touches my heart and my hand, God replenishes, and He replenishes, and He replenishes. And I don't expect every Christian to understand that, but I'm telling you, my friend, that's an exciting way to live, an exciting way to serve. And when you do, you've got a lot to praise God for. You have a lot to thank Him for. And David said, "Lord, I just want to thank You, because even the stuff I just gave, You gave to me in the first place. Thank You for allowing me to give." You may say, "Well, Pastor Chappell, You know, I see the needs in our country and I see the needs in my family, but I'm not sure I can participate from the heart. I'm not sure that's for me. Well, as we close this morning, I want to share one quick story with you and then we'll be done. I want to tell you a story about a man that I heard about a long time ago. In fact, I heard about him from a portion of Scripture, Luke chapter 19. This particular man was a short man. In fact, if I understand his personality and temperament well, he was under the tyranny of money. He lived under the tyranny of it. In fact, this man, the Bible tells me, was a tax collector. And he was not just a tax collector, he was an extortioner. I mean, he would go, and if they were one day late, boy, that interest compounded at big time rates. And that's how he made his living. He was a short man, a man who made his living by collecting taxes. And one day, a man by the name of Jesus came through his city. The city where he lived was a city of Jericho. And because he wanted to see Jesus, this little short man whose name is Zacchaeus, he climbed up into a sycamore tree. And he climbed up into the sycamore tree and he wanted to get a glimpse of this one who they said performed miracles. And so this little tax collecting man jumped up into the sycamore tree to see what he could see, my Sunday school teacher told me. And he got up into that sycamore tree to see what he could see. And all of a sudden, down that road came the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, as was often his custom, when he sensed a needing sinner in the vicinity, he stopped. And he said, "Zacchaeus, you tight-fisted, tax-collecting, unsaved man, you, get down out of that tree. I want to have lunch with you." You talk about a power lunch. Zacchaeus and Jesus. And I don't have time to give you the whole story, but you know what happened when that lunch was over? Zacchaeus, that tight-fisted, splinter-filled man, he said, "Lord," you read it, Luke 19, "I'm going to give half of all that I own to the poor." What happened? He got saved. God touched his heart, and it worked its way right down to his hand. And friend, I want to tell you something. Sometimes the reason we don't understand nor even desire to be a part of something like this is because we don't have the Lord in our hearts yet. Not every time, but many times that's the case. In fact, in Luke 19:10, as Jesus was leaving Zacchaeus, Luke inserted these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Hear them. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." See, why are we building that building out there? So that everyone who will come can hear that Jesus Christ died for sinners. Like Zacchaeus, like you, and like me. And may God help us to see the need to be saved and then to respond from the heart to purpose, to participate, and then, yes, to praise God for what he's done. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for a time to open up your word and to just preach about what David did. And I pray right now that you'd bless in this hour, in this service. Our heads are bowed.